All right, good evening. It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022. This is FAK 585, the Fakeologist Show. I can't adjust the title. This is today's Technology Blues. Can't adjust the title of tonight's show on the official title pages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and DLive. Excuse me, as you can hear, I still have my little cough. Very dry cough. Not on YouTube tonight. I didn't bother setting a 15th channel up, so you're going to have to figure out how to get to fakeotube.com. Good evening, Dirty Benny. I know you're on DLive. You're my one and only person that I can statistically see on the restream. I'm feeling a little better. About 89% today. But everyone go to fakeotube.com. If you go to fakeotube.com, and I see two people are over there, we have the chat. And if you look at the chat, it will be saved to the video comments. And let me see if there are video comments. So I'll just say hello to anyone there. Hello. I don't know if anyone is there tonight. Not as easy to see who's there in the comments on FakeoTube. I think Frank might be there. So ni hao, Frank, if you're there. Frank, we're not having a panel tomorrow. So if you want to, you're always welcome to slide into the show tonight. You can use last week's link or the week before link. It should work if you want to slide in. I'm only going to be here for about half an hour or so because I didn't even feel like coming on tonight because still under the weather. Now, tomorrow I said to go find the others. You can come on. You wanted to talk about 9/11. I haven't really done a whole lot of posting because the weather's super hot here, steamy, and it really zaps your energy. I'll take phone calls. Looks like I left the phones on, so you can call in if you want. Otherwise, I think I'll just read a couple posts off the blog and let you know what's going on. And then call it a night. That'll be tonight's show. Easy and quick. No guests officially tonight, as I said. I didn't really want to schedule anyone for at least a week just because I just don't feel all that great and I don't want to waste anyone's time. So that's why we will stick to this way of doing things. As I said last night on the Uncle Odd and Fakeologist Show, all my technology was crapping out all over the place in the last couple days, coincidentally. And man, nothing installs or fixes itself easily. And the support for all these different pieces of software are useless as well. A lot of them don't even know what's going on. We're just going to ramble a bit tonight. So we will turn off the intro music and remind everyone, if you want to call in, 810-666-1984. No super show plan for tomorrow either. Tiago is still off. And I know Frank is around because he's in the chat. He's probably looking for his link to get into the show if he wants. In the meantime, let's go right to the blog. And before I do, let's just talk about FakeoTube. FakeoTube. Apparently, there was a problem with FakeoTube. Yeah, Velo, I see Velo said is messaging me. You can call in tonight if you want, Velocent. Yeah, we could do a super. Yeah, I know I didn't really confirm a super show again because I wasn't feeling well. I wasn't sure I was going to make it. So I maybe the next week you'll fill in for the super show if I choose to do it. Let's see. I don't even remember if the Super Show was my idea. I think it was Marcus's. And while I don't mind having guests, it's just hard to get a word in edgewise for everybody. Not sure everyone enjoys it. I know people like the different topics, but sometimes it can become unruly and one person's interest is not the other's. So they're tricky to get going. They're work. Getting back to FACOTUBE. So the author of FACOTUBE found a problem with it. I can't remember what the problem was. Something about some software. So he said he can upgrade the software. Oh, hi. Ni hao, Frank. I wonder if Frank's got his audio working. You got your audio working? I guess not. I can't hear you if you're talking. Get your audio working. Press S for settings and make sure your microphone is hooked up. Anyway, so he said he could upgrade the site, but it'd be a couple $20 extra a month, up to $120 US. Are you, Frank?
Are you receiving now?
I am. Did you fix your settings?
I did exactly as you told me to, Ab.
Oh, I see. When you listen,
and what I particularly enjoyed was the way you were talking.
Oh, you just cut your mic. What did you particularly enjoy?
You said that Frank is looking for his link right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was exactly the case.
Well, I was just imagining. Okay. Dirty Benny says, oh, wow, Frank is on the show. Great to have Frank on the show. Yes, it is great to have Frank on the show. Ni hao, ni hao.
Well, thank you, Dirty Benny. You're very kind.
Yes. Okay, well, we see all of a sudden now we have a show. I don't have to talk to myself.
Welcome to the show. It's a very big show tonight.
And I guarantee we will fill an hour. But I try not to go more than an hour. I don't want to push myself. Just like I didn't have a second serving at dinner. Because I think I'm regrowing my stomach. Because one of the things when you're not feeling well is you don't want to eat. Because your body, yes. And your body turns off all your taste buds. Because your body says, okay, I don't want to tempt you. So anything you put in your mouth, including water, is not going to taste good. But we want you to fast. And I thought of you, Frank.
I did. I just finished a 5-day fast last week.
Mm-hmm.
I think they make a huge difference. I'm a fan.
Well, what can you eat when you're on a 5-day fast? What is acceptable?
Well, people have got different ideas about what is and what isn't. I have salty water. Water with lemon juice.
You actually drink it?
Drink salty water with lemon juice, yeah.
That's it for 5 days?
Yeah.
Nothing else goes in?
Oh, sorry. No, that's not true. I'm lying to you. I have cups of coffee.
Okay. That's it? No solid foods?
No food, no.
Mm-hmm. And does your stomach growl the whole time saying,
no,
what are you doing?
Because I've been doing it fairly regularly, it's more a mindset thing, I think, for most people.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly works.
You know? How much salt in your glass of salt water?
Oh, I just put to whatever tastes okay, really. When you put lemon in, you can have quite a lot of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I try and make it, I guess, isotonic, the same concentration as your body fluids.
Would that be a teaspoon or half a teaspoon?
Well, it's 8 grams of salt per liter is isotonic.
Well, how many?
So a glass of water, which is, 300 or 400 mils, it would have 2, 3, or 4 grams in it.
Mm-hmm. So how many teaspoons is that for all of us?
Because I use flake salt, I don't really know. It looks like quite a lot in flake salt. But I guess a quarter.
Is it more than a teaspoon?
A quarter of a teaspoon, probably.
Oh, a quarter of a teaspoon. Okay. That's not much then.
In a glass, yeah.
All right. Let's say hi to Velicent. He just dropped in. Hello, Velicent.
Good evening, guys. Couldn't help myself.
Hello, Velicent.
I heard fasting come on, and then I've got to come back, Frank, up on this one. Because I'm a big advocate of fasting, and I'm a big advocate of salt's Frank advice. So Frank's salt advice, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
So when I was into fasting before I knew about the salt thing, and then when I did my last few fasts, I've incorporated salt water in the past few years since, and I can't speak highly enough about it. And I want to get Ab to try this, because Ab, the times I brought it up, you always say things like, "Oh, but I'm a working man, I need to eat." It's like, no, you've really got to understand that it's a few days of heartache, but after that, you can transcend all kinds of things. It's quite a crazy experience.
And in fact, Ab, I have to tell you that I also continue to play badminton and work, et cetera, et cetera, and still go to karaoke and. I don't change my lifestyle at all.
Okay.
That's the thing you got to understand. It can be the first few times you do it, there's a bit of turmoil the first few days because you're not used to that sensation. But it's like a runner's high. Give it 3 days and then you're going around like elated and ecstatic after that. And you can work to the full, possibly even more functionality than you may have on your lethargic butt any normal other day. Yeah.
Is that right?
The reason for the salt is that when you fast or when you eat keto, your body will push out a lot of salt through the kidneys and you need to replace it.
Okay. Vela said, how long do you fast before you have to eat?
So the most two recent, well, recently I did one for about 7 days.
Wow.
But before I haven't, that's the only one I've done since being in the States. Not long before I left though, I did two separate consecutive 10-day fasts, and that's just salt water, lemon juice, like Frank. Yeah.
That's crazy. And you drove the trains on that kind of diet?
Yeah, I was working at the time. Yeah.
Wow.
You get hyper alert, Ab.
Interesting. You're hyper alert looking for food. You're probably starving to death.
So another way to think of it, Ab, is a hungry lion is energetic.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's peak physical performance because it's going to eat. As soon as it's eaten, it sleeps for 3 days.
Yeah, well, I'm not a lion though, but I guess I could be. Oh, jeez.
One of my problems
you could be the next Lion of Judah.
Yeah, really.
One of my issues in general, since like I only started the whole fasting things in maybe like the last 4 years or so, since waking up. But I'll say before fasting, I used to eat like a normal person, you know, multiple meals a day and all that. I'll say my life has changed since fasting in the sense that even now, and Sarah will tell you, if we go out to eat, I do it because like in the moment I'm hungry, but most meals end in me being lethargic and disappointed and feeling sick. I don't actually enjoy the result of eating, you know?
Yeah, I'm
the opposite of that. I really enjoy my food. So I think I could be considered a glutton, which is why I'm 120 kilos, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think I can eat another serving, but I know if I just wait 5 minutes, it'll go away. So I don't have to do that. I just restrict myself at the point of serving. I just say, no, that's enough.
You got to save room for dessert too.
Well, I definitely, I live for dessert. There's no doubt about that.
If you're not having a red wine, something's got to go there.
Yeah. But
the other thing, Ab, is if you do fast, say, I would just try a 3-day fast first.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just had one involuntarily.
When you start eating again, you've got to take it a bit easy. That's all.
I was going to say. I think my stomach shrank. And now you can't just eat the same quantity and try and expand it, because that's when you'll have some kind of pain, I would say.
You do, you do. And I've tried both. And, trying to start normal eating straight away, I don't know what your experience is. I was about to call you the wrong name.
Velobox.
Do you find that you have to start eating slowly again?
After
10 days.
I'm really terrible at that. I know the general practice is if you've fasted for that long, you would try to ease back in. I really have a poor track record of just like ducking off to McDonald's for a double cheeseburger. Like really, really silly.
Terrible.
And usually I regret it straight away. I go, I shouldn't have even bothered breaking the fast. It was silly to do because now I've broken it and it's not worth the payoff. So,
okay. So you do suffer unless you start, if you go too quickly after fasting.
Yeah, I've just never had the self-control to ease back in with something healthy. I'm generally, after 10 days without food, what really appeals to me is a greasy cheeseburger, you know?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's all I eat anyway. I eat high-fat, low-carb, yeah.
All right, so enough of the food. So I had an involuntary fast. I'm not really a faster, but I guess I could be because I was forced into it. My body just said no. Hunger went away. Taste went away. Food was unappealing. It was just something I thought I should do to try and energize my body so it could overcome. Now, would you fast if you guys were ill? Would you fast if you were ill?
Yes, that's what happens. I'm like you. When I'm ill, I don't eat.
Oh, so you just initiate a fast the minute, say...
I don't, it's nothing to initiate. I just don't feel like eating, just the way you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not interested.
So if you weren't going to fast, that's the beginning of your fast automatically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Same with you, Ellison?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time. Like, I will agree, I have the same reaction. If I'm sick, I generally don't have an appetite, but it can be other things. I can't remember the last time it was sickness that caused me to fast, but the most recent one, it was a fight with Sarah and I was in a bad like mental space. So I did it. I didn't eat because of that. So different things can spur on, you know, having no appetite, but it's usually a good entrevue into a fast. Definitely.
Dirty Benny says he agrees with Frank, only fast when I am ill, which is rarely. Okay. So Dirty Benny doesn't fast, I guess. He's never ill.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I do fast. I fast every couple of months. For either 5 days or 7 days. But not six. I don't know why six. I don't know why I haven't done six. I don't know.
Well, today's turned into a bit of the round table. As you know, the round table was terminated as predictable, as we predicted with Frank last Thursday. So why don't we talk about that for a few minutes? So I wasn't sure I wanted to have any guests this week, or definitely didn't want to really invite a round table because I figured I'm not going to stand up for different people. But in case things didn't feel too well. So what are your comments on the so-called drama? As Marcus puts it, I'm sure he's listening. And well, he says he's listening, so he'll probably want to get your feedback.
If he feels it's drama to him, you know.
Yeah.
One man's, what do they say? One man's bread is another man's
roast. I don't know what they say about that. I don't know what they say. It must be an Australian phrase.
No, it's just, you know, obviously if what's a drama to him is what he perceives it to be, isn't it?
One man's Rollo is another man's John Laws.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. That's not bad.
That's
better than the bread one. I think that's what Frank was trying to say. He meant John Laws instead of bread.
That's what I meant. John Laws. All hell, John Laws.
Mm-hmm. Who's a talk show host in Australia for the rest of the world that has no idea who that is.
As in case Rollo's listening, let's not take John Law's name in vain.
No, but he's not dead yet, so we're okay. Okay, so what was your impression, Velasette? You actually did a show with Marcus for a while, which actually was a good show.
Thank you.
I think you I can't remember. Did Marcus or you forward those to me? I'm not sure I was privy to all or any of them back in the day.
I'm sure we've both sent them through to you at different times. Yeah, I had the pleasure of hosting a show with Marcus. When was that? 2020? It was slightly
not long ago.
It would have been slightly pre-COVID, yeah. But I was in a long line of Marcus's co-hosts. Like, he did the whole Hoaxbusters thing, then he's worked on and off with you, For a period of time, I think he had regular standing appointments with JLB. And then I wanted to get on that bandwagon. So I had the opportunity to meet one of my heroes, a voice I've been listening to for a long time. But then we were doing our own things. That we were finding it hard to commit and keep our appointments with the show. And then I had other things come up in my life. So I retired that whole project. But it doesn't come as a shock to me that he did. How many months has it been? Maybe, what, 3-4 months of the Thursday Night Roundtable?
At the most. I'd have to look it up. Yeah.
But I don't know. That's okay. He can take a break. He can listen in. And then I'm sure he'll come back recharged for round number, what, 20?
Right. Oh, okay.
Well, from my point of view, as I've said to Marcus 100 times, I disagree on him on many, many things.
Yeah.
But he is without doubt the, what would you call him? The elder statesman of fake-o type talkback, isn't he?
Yeah. The OG. The OG, what the kids say today, the OG.
He puts the effort in. He puts a lot of time in preparing for things.
Yeah.
And because he does all those things, the result is, always stimulating, thought-provoking content, and I applaud him for that. But without doubt, he knows that I disagree with him on many, many things.
Yeah, and I could tell that the last show, because the regular panel wasn't there, and then we hastily convened a new panel, and it was sort of more haphazard and
I could tell
it irritated him. And then we had the boogie virus come flying through the website, and that guy had lots to say about Marcus, having known Marcus for longer than any of us here, apparently. Apparently he's known of
and the problem for us is, for all we know, it could be Marcus.
No, I don't think so. No, it wasn't Marcus. And it wasn't Jimmy Carter either, Frank.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. They were, well, I brought them into the same audio room together, so they were echoing away after each other. So I just thought that if you do a show and you're talking, then there's going to be people that are critical of you. And I don't really mind criticism too much. I think it makes for more interesting radio than if we all just sit around and pat each other on the back and agree with each other. But I just thought that his idea that he doesn't like was completely disingenuous. I thought, is that code for I don't like people that disagree with me?
When I was having a blue with Kayham, I was on his show. He basically said, "Look, stop talking about that Dallas Goldberg guy, or you're off." And I said, "Okay, I'm off." it's all
Well, right.
It's just obviously he doesn't like drama. I can vouch for the fact that he has disliked
drama.
That's
not drama. If you're talking about someone that is aggravating me, I can easily say to you, Frank, let's stop. If you want to keep talking week after week, let's not talk about that anymore. Because we
No. It wasn't about on his show that he was concerned. He didn't want me to have the blue on your show with Kayham.
Oh, I see.
He wanted me to, because we weren't talking about it all on his show.
Oh, I see. Well,
it tugged at his sensibilities. So, that's happened before. So that's consistent.
It's consistent behavior.
Consistent behavior, yeah.
Velisa, what do you think? Is drama equal? Do you think his drama means stuff he disagrees with? Is that what drama is?
You think he rolls out the whole there's drama, I'm getting out of this. Firstly, let me start with Boogeyman. I don't know what that guy's motives are. I don't know if he's a troll or he honestly believes this stuff. It's very crazy. He came out of the woodwork, and as Dirty Benny has made a good point there, what did he say? It's not happenstance that Boogeyman hit IPS, JLB and Fakeologist at the same time. That's Dirty Benny's comment. And I agree. It's a bit weird why you'd starting to claim things are real and come out. Look, I think there's a whatever you want to call it, whether it's drama, fighting, whatever. I think it's a real double-edged sword, because on some hand, some things you would think it's so ridiculous we shouldn't waste any time arguing about it. You know, we are stronger together than we are apart, sort of thing. But I can see how if you feel attacked or you feel like it's wasting your time and that, you'd want to just distance yourself and go, I don't really want to be part of this shit show if it's just embarrassing. But yeah, look, it's hard for me to make a decision, because I agree there's sometimes when you want to come out to the table and have different opinions and fight and go, nah, that's bullshit. Let's say the way I think it is, and you can have a discussion. I mean, it doesn't get as far sitting around in a kumbaya circle jerk agreeing with each other, does it? I mean, there's sites that provide that if you want to go and pay for it.
Well, like I said, if you're doing a show where people on a panel show up every week, they're committed, they haven't disappointed since, and then you have one bad show just because maybe other, and it's hard for a whole panel to convene every week. Everyone has different lives, but to
end I couldn't. By the way, I couldn't work out why I couldn't get into the audio at all. We'd been able to using this my phone in the past. Mm-hmm. I had been able to get on board before, so I don't know what was going on.
Maybe there was some geolocating block, because you were on the road, I think. Maybe there was some kind of blocking going on there, because everything seems fine today and you're back at home base.
Yeah, but I'm not using my cell phone, as you call it, my mobile phone. I'm using my normal system,
When you're out and about, though, you had issues using the cell phone on Discord, is that what you're saying?
Well, on anything, I couldn't ring in or anything. Every time I tried to speak, Ab said that my sound was blowing out.
No, I never. We couldn't hear you.
Yeah, blowing out. It was.
Yeah, so nothing. I heard nothing. Nobody heard anything.
It was just crazy. Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to my point. So I don't. It, just because you get criticism, and maybe it's a troll, maybe he's not a professional troll, doesn't matter. I just don't think it's a reason to.
No, people should do what you do and just keep your head down and keep on moving. Like, look at you. I think you're one of the best people when it comes to like letting criticism rush off your back and that. You've got plenty of detractors and haters for the stuff you put out there. But I mean, I don't think I've ever seen you succumb to altering your opinions, your content. Or I mean, I'm sure you've changed your opinions in the good way. But I mean, like, in it's a double-edged sword saying these things. Well, no, I don't think I've seen you like mentally distressed or crack from anyone's poor comments or that. I think in a way you are kind of like,
I'm just kind of
in a little bit of an ivory tower. I think you let it, you roll with the punches and you do your thing. And I think that's something to be proud of.
And I actually get disappointed when people don't fight back, like Marcus. I think Marcus always has really strong cases that he makes, and to let someone derail him that has got a pretty weak case, I find disheartening. I found it disheartening. And one of the reasons why I sent Boogeyman over to Omar's dark papers on Telegram, which I hate Telegram mainly because it's one continuous thread. And I, you know, if you back off the thread for 5 minutes, you're 1,000 messages behind. And I don't like trying to figure out what's going on every day that I don't check in. But one of the reasons I sent Boogeyman over there is Omar is a really good arguer when it comes to any point, including 9/11. So I didn't want to argue with Boogeyman because I just don't have time, and I was getting sick and I just didn't want to deal with it because I want to just concentrate on getting better. And Marcus got all mad that I sent Boogeyman over there. And again, I said, it's because Omar is a great arguer. He has great points. And go read them. If you want an argument, I don't mind the occasional argument, but I'm not doing it now. I have to pick my time. It's my schedule. So go over there and talk to Omar and read his stuff. And it didn't happen. So anyway.
I must confess, I did enjoy. I'm just looking at the guy who you know, one of the talks by Graphene, is it?
Right, Graphene Lemming, who's also controversial.
Yeah, but I thought he did a couple of solos that you put up.
Yeah, I haven't listened. Yeah, I'm behind my own shows.
I enjoyed listening to them. I think he presents himself well.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like his stuff. They think he's a turd in the punch bowl.
That's right. We've all got something. You know, there's like at least half of the show here tells me the Earth is a spinning ball. So, you know, obviously I'm going to disagree with a truckload of them.
Mm-hmm.
Graphene. And Graphene's story time was also good. So kudos to Graphene Lemming from me anyway.
Well, and he's using the audio chat for the original purpose, which is to, if you have a presentation or for yourself,
yeah,
then go on and make a presentation, see if you can hold an audience. Or if you can attract other people to debate you or discuss with you, then do that too. There's two things you can do.
And yes, that's it's very good.
Yeah, I think, and very few people have used it over the years successfully. But some people have, and it can be interesting. But it's pretty hard.
I mean, you're able to talk on your own. I find it very difficult. Rick can obviously do it, and Graphene Lemon really does a great job on just talking to the thing. I think it's a great skill.
It is.
You just got to imagine someone else is there. That's the whole trick. I think, in general, there's a bit of a misinterpretation maybe amongst fakeologists, how the audio chat works and what it's supposed to be. And correct me if I'm off base here, Ab. We talked about it the other day. But I think people are looking at it like this serialized podcast that there's going to be all these episodes, and there's no necessity to have to go back and listen to anything. I view it like conversations are being hosted from people all around the world. And because they're all over the world, the time zones are different. So you can't always be there for every chat. So I try to look at it like Rick and Ab are on like a Sunday morning having a chat. If you weren't there at the time, listen the next day, and then you come on the day after that and say your opinions about what those guys said. Make it like a slightly delayed way of communicating with people. Don't look at it like a show. Look at it like an enhanced time independent chat, you know.
Yeah, dialogue kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way I think it should have a lot more interplay between different people as the sort of timeline goes on.
In my opinion, that's what does happen here. I think what you
it
just
does,
said
It does, but
really...
I'm just, I don't think everyone sees it that way.
You know? Okay. Yeah. I certainly agree with you that that's how it plays out, and I think it plays out well from that point of view.
Well, we don't get a lot of feedback on the audio chats. We have regular feedback from regular listeners. But overall, I'm not sure people know about the product. They're not really familiar with it. But we have a very loyal
So you could say you have like some hosts, and then some people post comments. But I don't think there's the right amount of – we need three more sets of Rick and Rollos that want to come back on other days and keep throwing stuff back and forth, you know, to keep the dialogue open.
Mm-hmm.
And Rollo, if you're listening, I'm a bit annoyed that you're – either actually self-destructing or pretending to self-destruct. Can you please just go back to the getting those shows on the road? People miss them, Rollo. You've got a job to do.
Are you talking about, well, he does show up for Rick and Rollo, so you're worried.
He doesn't, but he's just given all the appearances of a bit of a meltdown at the moment. Obviously, things are a bit...
Yeah. And you'll have to tune in for details on Rick and Rollo.
There was that thing. I forget. It might have been a couple of weeks back. The show where he announced the whole AVO and the police were at his house. I think the next Rick and Ab. Maybe you were talking about it. Just you guys. And I think Ab said, like, do you think he's crying out for help? What should we do? Nothing. Like, it was like, I think you've already made your mind up. But like, I feel bad too. I know. That's the practicality.
You can't do
of it,
anything.
But maybe when I'm back in Australia, I can. But I feel sad that it's like I think things are always on some level a cry for help, and I feel bad. Like, I don't think any of us want to see Rollo get worse than he already is. So.
You're sad, and I'm annoyed.
Okay, well there you go.
Because that's a lot of talent.
If we've learned anything,
a lot of talent being dissipated, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you've learned anything in these COVID times, you can't help other people that don't want to help themselves. If people want to commit harry-carry, then you have to stand out of the way. Otherwise, you're going down with them. So unfortunately, an adult just have to get out of the way and let it happen. Let him go. Whatever he chooses, whatever anyone chooses in this life, everyone's given all the information they need to make good decisions. And there's no barrier to information anymore. So if you want to choose these rough roads, these dangerous roads, then you have to let the person just do it. So he's He's had a long time to figure out where he's going and where he's been. So it would be too bad if something bad happened, but there's nothing you can do. That's for sure.
Well, but Dirty Benny's saying, you know, you shouldn't interfere with someone else's live script. But, you know, I'm just going to express to Rollo that I'm
as an audience member. As an audience member, you don't want to miss the next show.
No, it's all about me, Rollo. Just think about me.
Yeah, audience is listening. Yeah. Just think, and you know, a lot that keeps a lot of people, celebrities and not so much celebrities alike, going, knowing someone is listening, the audience is listening. Must be difficult. All right, so we've gone over. So tonight is the super show, the mini super show, and so we figured. So we're
the mini super show.
Yeah, so we're okay with letting the Marcus Super Show slide into history for a couple more months.
Oh, I'm not happy about it. But you know, what can I do?
Well, we're accepting of it.
I'll get down on my bended knee.
Are you sad or annoyed?
I'm annoyed.
Right now, I'm nothing.
I'm annoyed because I thought it was a good format, the way the you know, the questions and the responses, and then we'd get good feedback from the listeners, you know, in the comments. I just thought it was a show that was working, but you know,
despite criticism of various views, you thought that it could withstand criticism and turds in the punch bowl and that kind of thing?
As Exoteric would say, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't think there was any problem with it. You're something that stimulates discussion, the way it did. You know, you're getting plenty of, you know, 15, 20 comments on those.
Oh,
my
God, it was an avalanche.
You know, so to me, that is the indication of success. And obviously, Tiago is a bit of a superstar. You know, it was great to get his voice on the radio. I just thought the thing was working. I was privileged to be there, and I really, you know, obviously enjoyed it. But you know what was going on there, I thought was excellent. In short,
you don't mind, because I'm reading some. So Boogeyman has started fires everywhere, including the Discord. And we have moderators on Discord that are trigger happy. And again, as soon as something they disagree with shows up, a little controversy, they blow the person away. I don't think that's the right approach. I got some direct messages from different people who I just leave anonymous. They ask why I'm allowing that to happen. And I said, well, okay, let me repeat. I'm more hands-off, especially with the Discord.
Everyone's crying out for daddy. They want daddy to fix all the problems, don't they?
Well, the only thing I would like to see in terms of what moderators do is to remove obvious awful language and, you know, people just flying off the handle at people they don't even know, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to agree.
Well, what's awful language?
Well, just telling people they're F-wits or whatever, you know, and really slamming into people.
Mm-hmm. But if the person doesn't want to see that, they could just block them as well.
But when it's done, anyway, I just think there should just be it's not about the content. It's about people just being, well, really awful for no reason. I don't see how you gain anything from belittling people or whatever. You know, the fact is, this guy thinks or says that he thinks that people died. Okay, that's how it is.
Yeah, and show us the proof. And I didn't see any proof. And I actually was listening to Marcus. The one thing Boogeyman did post was a link to Marcus on Paula Gloria from 2008. I never saw that or heard that. I know Boogeyman was trying to make a point that Marcus was lying about being a pilot. maybe it was just an off the cuff remark, just to jolt Paula way back in the day. But actually, I thought it was a really good video, and I just posted it tonight on FakoTube. And I thought Marcus was great on that. I thought, well, why? You could just bring up some of your points that you've been making, were making 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And you'd blow them away. And yeah. So I was kind of surprised, as I said earlier, that he let that bother him and let it go. But I just want to make sure it plays, by the way. Is that? Oh, it does play.
Are you at all you can upload right now?
Jumper avatar, view original size here.
Yeah, so you see a jumper in one part of the building, and then you see a trailer.
So Marcus was arguing this point. Way back in the day. I can't remember what the date of this is.
Am I doing a faithful?
This is with Paula Gloria and Web Fairy, and I hadn't even listened to it. Sometimes I think, why am I wasting my time listening to stuff from so long ago? Because it is a long time ago.
But, I went back and tracked down Paula Gloria's appearance on Stern after I became aware of the video you're looking at on the screen. I went back and found that other one on the Stern thing. So I wanted to remind myself what that was all about. I'll have to get you that audio.
Yeah, so this is from February 22nd, 2008. I put on FakoTube because Paula Gloria is allegedly dead now. So that means, that means her YouTube channel, of course, there's no guarantee it's going to stick around. I'm not going to copy her whole YouTube channel. I just wanted to get a couple of bits that were interesting because she was an interesting character way back from the Stern days.
Yeah.
As you said, Velocet. So it's pretty good audio. Marcus does a really good job arguing with Web Fairy. It seems to be, I think, sort of a half no planer. And none of this would be interesting to us at this point of the game anyhow, except the fact that Boogeyman has been bringing it up. So he has forced everyone to look at it. And there's nothing wrong with looking at it again, but I think
I personally thought it was okay. The guy disagrees with, I'm not even sure what he disagrees with. I think he's really just saying people died, isn't he?
He says there were real jumpers and that's real footage. And his main bone of contention is if you say everything's fake, then that's a real easy way out of ignoring what he thinks is compelling evidence of reality. That's all he says. It's just a trap that you fall into if you just discount everything as fake.
Yeah, if I could just add a comment to it, someone posted a discussion with a German soldier in it might have been UAB, was it?
I don't know.
Anyway, talked about a former member of the he was just a young man during the Second World War. About his experience of World War II.
Okay.
And, you know, that was pretty clear that people, you know, he made it, his point was that he was saying basically people were dying.
I think they are. They think they do.
Oh, okay, yeah. So when we say that war is a hoax, we're talking about the reason is a hoax. We're not saying that no one dies in war.
Well, I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any collective statements. When it comes to war as a hoax, I know what my position is. I know my grandfather was in the war and he did witness people die when he was floating in the Pacific. Well, it's not a hoax. I think the definition of what we call war is different than it was in World War II. I know they didn't even call anything after World War II wars. They called them conflicts or security exercises or United Nations security missions. And they really haven't declared war ever since. I'm not in that camp that says, oh, nothing is happening. It's all just a big charade. I don't think they just fly to in circles and land in the desert in Nevada. I know there are Nevada or desert training areas where they could potentially say they're doing it, but I don't think that's happening. So I don't agree with the premise overall, but I don't discount the idea, but I'm not an absolutist in any way in that way. So
yeah, okay. So I think, you know, I think most people would be where you are on this topic.
Yeah, police actions. Tunax calls them police actions. That's right.
Yeah. So that's all. And I think if anything, I've got taken anything out of the boogeyman thing is, yeah, okay. Don't just assume everything's a hoax yet. We just don't have enough data. Or I don't have enough data, I should say.
Bella said anything to chime in on the round table? I don't want to exclude you from this conversation.
Get me on the hook with a what is war all about thing?
I mean, no. I don't even need your view.
No, because that kind of stuff, I was just going to say, we go around on that stuff so much. I just, the definitions of war is different. That's why some people do die in war and then no one dies in war. I think it's all bullshit. I mean, if you can look at what's going on now in the Ukraine in front of your eyes and you don't think that's what's been happening with every other so-called war since time and memoriam, then I don't know what to say. Like, people getting hurt, injured. I mean, people get hurt and injured any day in civilian life. So, and then like Dave J says, with the military, you've got a big, large group of men with a bunch of big boys' toys racing around. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if people get hurt. But conflict against an enemy through the sight of a gun or something? No, I find that hard to believe. Any human would do that to another human, period.
Unless told to do it. And that's why you get young men. Because they'll point a gun and run into a fire anytime they're told, which is they don't have enough.
I don't believe they do. I think most young men these days are pussies, video gamers. I don't know where all these young men you're talking about who are going to run at gunfire commanded today, by a general. That's horseshit.
Maybe today, but in the past, if you were told to go run guns blazing this away, you had to do it. That's an order.
Run guns. If you looked at most of the advertising, the recruitment advertising in the military from, probably the 80s and prior, it's like veiled homoeerotic stuff. Like, don't like your wife, want to fuck men, come to the military. You're not aware of like what's, it's a big escape for men to go off overseas easily and have like spring break all over again. Yeah. And get paid,
so,
by
so
the way.
Just that discussion you've just had now, right, to me validates at least partially what Boogeyman has done.
Well, you
guys have, the three of us have basically got three different opinions about whether people die or not.
Yeah.
So there you go. I think it's...
It just generates discussion, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only
point.
I
don't really think he's been as harmful as some people say.
I don't think he's been harmful at all. And the idea that he has been harmful to me is, you know, that is fake news. It cannot be harmful to just talk.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah. I'm on you there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. We all have a conversation. No one's getting butthurt that we have different opinions. I think it's the reason I listen when I'm not on the show is because this is the entertainment I want to hear. If I'm gonna spend my time listening to stuff, I want to listen to what you guys have to say, not to someone on the good old MSM.
But that conversation you just had with Ab then, that was entertaining for me. That was great. That was real.
Oh. Yeah. All right. Then we've earned our lot for the evening.
You've got the plaudits already from me anyway.
No, I know you are a very money where your mouth is fakeologist through and through. I appreciate your support for sure. And I appreciate the 13 people watching on FakoTube right now, because I know at least that many would be on YouTube. Haven't had any interest or chance to reboot a YouTube channel. I think I have three of them. They're all struck. So I'm not, obviously.
What is the reason they strike your channels?
There's no reason needed. It's just community guidelines.
But what is the community guideline? I mean, what is controversial about what's being talked about now, do you think?
There's no reason to even give it two thoughts. Why? I have no idea. It's not, it's insane to try and decompose their reason.
Deconstruct?
Yeah, they don't need reasons. It's just their channel, and they don't want their advertisers exposed to our discussion. It's right. If they can do it, censor it. It's a fruitless conversation, because you're never going to figure it out. You're never going to get to the bottom of it.
I say don't go back. I think
okay.
Okay, so I know it's hard because the whole debate, even in the mainstream, comes down to be where the people are, right? They've got your, they've got everyone by the short and curlies. They've already roped everyone into YouTube and Twitter, and now conveniently, you've got to come on their platform to play. And I'm like, Ab, you're like you IPS people like that are doing live shows, broadcasting a real pirate signal in the noise. I think you just need to start treating it as such. Have just a homepage where the video is, and people have to come there to participate. I don't think being in amongst this constant bans is just a big uphill battle, and it's only getting worse. And if you give me like, I'll let Frank comment, but I've got a thing Sarah pointed out from Miles Mathis a few weeks ago that I wanted to read. So give me 2 seconds. I'll find that.
I've got some Miles Mathis I'd like to read as well. I was if nobody came out, I was just going to read Miles Mathis because he still puts out the best stuff. Frank, are you familiar with?
Yes, I wasn't familiar with Miles Mathis until you put me onto him. So, but yeah, I enjoy reading what he says.
Okay, well, he did a really good.
He's doing a nuclear one that I'm about to read.
I'm not familiar with the movie. I think it's called Silkwood. I think there's a woman called Karen Silkwood. I am not familiar with it.
I've seen it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's it's just a whole bunch of.
Who was she again? Karen Silkwood. I can't remember what.
I think she might have been one of these employee things that blew the whistle.
Mm-hmm. On.
Oh, and some nuclear. Malfeasance that they were doing, some just to give the whole thing more genuine.
Okay. I think nuclear is going to bubble up to the surface again because apparently there's a new movie coming out called Oppenheimer. So this is why this is why it's going to be a topic now for a while, just like I guess Elvis was a topic for a little bit. I'm not sure that movie is still going to be the biggest movie of the year, but let me just see if there's a trailer for Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is apparent, and Christopher Nolan's a huge director. And Oppenheimer, it's in theater. What? It's already in. It's already in theaters, July 21st. I did not know that.
I've got that thing when you're ready.
Oh, okay. And I think Oppenheimer is the Jewish guy that organized the Manhattan Project, I think.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah,
is that right? And he's the father of
The atomic bomb.
The atomic.
He's the bomb. He's the one that they keep saying that I've become Shiva the Destroyer.
Mm.
Just there. Because I was so hooked up in all this stuff. It just really makes me throw up now.
Listen. Wow. Doesn't tell us a damn thing, does it really? doesn't tell us a damn thing, honestly.
I'm sure when the title's finished, you'll see it being, oh, no, you didn't. I thought you were going to see a big nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
But again, it's all that straight away you think, okay, the war was well and truly over, as if before the thing even started, as if Germany was going to be able to withstand an assault by Russia, the USA, UK, the whole thing's just never was there ever any doubt about the outcome.
Yeah.
So the way it's made out of all this glorious, it's like that famous joke. There we were, two of us against 1,000 vicious men. Two of us against 1,000. Oh, sorry, I'll start again. There we were, two against 1,000 vicious men. Boy, did we kill those two. It's just crazy yeah, with the story. Ludicrous.
Anyway, so that's why I think that everyone's going to have to pay attention again to what nuclear is, nuclear science. And he did a good deconstruction of who Karen Silkwood is, the whole story behind it. I doubt I'm going to watch the Silkwood movie, but he did say some really interesting things, including the fact that he's going to do another deeper dive into nuclear power and how it's a hoax, which is it's pretty relevant to where I live because I live near a nuclear power plant that they're supposed to close, but they keep extending it just because, just make up a reason. Solar power, wind power, gas power, unreliable power. This is reliable power. CO2 emissions. Just, it doesn't even matter what the reason is because it doesn't make power. I think it's pretty damn clear. One of the interesting things that he brought up that I had never thought of, and he brings up a company called Kerr McGee, which I believe was in oil and gas in Oklahoma, Texas, West Texas, that kind of area. And one of the things that these industries do in their drilling and in the refining is create tons of waste. And instead of being responsible for all the poisoning of comes from all this waste, if they could call the waste nuclear waste, then the government would take over the whole expense and the whole guarding and the whole guardrailing of this waste and give these corporations immunity from any kind of prosecution when it comes to any kind of fallout from this waste. And I'm talking about poisoning of the water supplies, that kind of thing. And I thought, man, that's it. So that's another really great cover story that they've created to protect their industry. Just like I think a lot of the factory farming or just chemical farming in general that poisons the watershed around. I just think that if they can say that, oh, it's a virus that's causing all this death and destruction around these operations, then it takes these corporations off the hook again and puts it into the government domain so that they have to pay for everything and take care of the people that are poisoned by industry. So I thought that was really fascinating. And let me just... I'll just read the quote. And then
is that guy a conspiracy theorist, Miles Mathers?
Just a bit of one. It says here, also remember that I just reminded you about Kerr McGee. They were already illegally dumping huge amounts of toxic waste long before 1965. But if they could convince the government regulators, and the public that this was nuclear waste, it might be forgiven as part of the Cold War and defense. So they were basically hiding behind the military and its budget, which was shielded from questions about waste. We never talk about how much waste the military creates because it's the untouchable 65% of the American economy. So they are absolved from all blame. While nuclear waste was given a bye due to national security, waste from oil refining and other mining wouldn't be. So upside down to expectation, Kerr McGee was probably labeling non-nuclear waste as nuclear to avoid being found criminally liable for it. Brilliant. Besides, disposal of nuclear waste was a government project, not just a private enterprise like non-nuclear waste. So by working with the government on the nuclear fake, Kerr McGee was pulling itself from responsibility. Or trying to. I imagine that in exchange for Kerr McGee pretending to be working on nuclear fuel rods, the government agreed to instruct EPA to look the other way for another decade on Kerr McGee's toxic dumping, guaranteeing billions more in profits than before the final reckoning. What do you think of that, Frank? I thought it's a really yet another cover story.
It's much more plausible than anything else, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And where is the nuclear waste facilities for all of North America? I think it's around...
in salt domes that are mined out from oil.
Right. Plus, or the Los Alamos area, Area 51, just vast wastelands of New Mexico desert.
Yeah. Most of it's stored in what they call salt domes.
Mm-hmm.
Just as an aside, kind of obliquely related to that topic, is the all the new sciencey stuff coming out now is saying that the dark matter theory is in tatters.
Oh, and, good.
And that, you know, what this basically means is that everything to do with general relativity is now broken. You know, they haven't been able to make it work at all in any way, shape, or form. And it's time, you know, the talk is it's time to move on. So, of course, no one looks back and says, well, of course, that now means that nuclear power is a fake because everything is based on Einstein. This E equals MC squared thing. You know, so they, once they topple the, but once they pull the bottom out of the house of cards, they're going to work out some way to hold the house of cards up, I guess, but.
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, this was a good article. Make sure you read it. And Bellicet, what do you got from Miles?
How much longer are you going to go for?
Well, this could be our last story.
Okay, I was just going to say, because I was bringing it up in relation earlier to the censorship on YouTube thing. But It was a good intro to the article, and I just thought it says a bit, just in general, it's a good way to finish. Maybe this will actually apply. So the article originally published July 25, 2022 by Miles Mathis. It's called The Amish School Shootings Were Staged.
Oh, right. Which,
now, it's funny because this event actually happened right near Marcus, if I'm correct. It was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So,
oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was.
I didn't want to really talk about the Amish bit of the article, but it starts off, and I'll just read it to you, okay? So the first thing that comes up on a Google search on Amish school shooting hoax or fake is a link to CBS telling us that any such question on any school shooting is, quote, horrifying. All questions are baseless, disgusting, or otherwise insane. This CBS article is about Uvalde, but it manages to call doubters racist and intolerant in the first paragraphs. Not sure how asking questions about news stories is racist, but that's the cover-all slur these days. If you don't believe everything the government and news tells you, you are racist. What about black women who don't believe everything they see on TV? Are they racist? I guess so. But how exactly is questioning the news horrifying? What is truly horrifying to me is that believing everything that you are told by the government and media after it has been proved and admitted that they have lied to us literally millions of times. And I'm not talking about my papers. I'm talking about mainstream admissions of previous lies going back decades and centuries. Just read the history pages at Wikipedia, which is a mainstream source. Mainstream historians admit the government has lied to us on every possible occasion. One might almost say the government's go-to format. It's modus operandi. Lie all the time about everything. The lying politician is now a cliche. And yet we don't believe the next lie that comes down the pike. We are horrifying. They tell us some children got shot in the face, and because it concerns children, we have to believe it or be called monsters. I don't see the logic. A rational person believes what is believable or proved and disbelieves what is unbelievable, inconsistent, or counter to all evidence. And I've only got another paragraph to go, so be patient.
No, I'm looking at it on the screen right now. I read this one. It's a good one.
Okay. Other than that, a Google search pulls up nothing. All the search engines have been scrubbed in this way, told to produce no results on such questions. And if the computer no longer knows what a hoax or fake means, for several years this was not true, and even YouTube had thousands of results on such searches. Now, nothing. Total internet censorship. That is what is truly horrifying. Instead, the searches are littered with propaganda writing from Langley, like this article from CBS, trying to shame you into silence and force belief. They tell you the conspiracy theories are baseless, but how could you judge that since you aren't allowed to see the evidence and conspiracy theorists have? Simply presenting evidence is dismissed as horrifying and monstrous. All those like me have been slandered as monsters simply for asking questions and doing basic research. Anyway, this article continues on about the shooting. But I just thought it was a good thing, and I like that he specifically included YouTube, because I think playing at their game, trying to elevate ourselves on these platforms, goes counter to what our message is anyway, if we can agree on having one. But I think, like I said, you're like the pirate signal. I think you need to be out in the ocean, you know, in international waters in a leaky boat. So do your own thing. And I think when you do gain followers, you gain the type that have found something that they're going to find value in, and they'll hang around and go out of their way to keep up with the content and won't be perturbed by the fact that it's not right in front of their face on YouTube.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Here, is all I can say.
Here. Well, even Miles Mathis, you know.
I'll clap myself too for the ambience, but no one will know. Theater of the mind.
Yeah, that's good. Well, even Miles Mathis is not easy to fight, and he's got some of the best information out there, and you have to. He's not on Twitter. He's not on YouTube. He creates PDFs on a very basic website. And unless you've got it specially, he doesn't even have a proper feed.
That's one other thing I'll add too, because here's my other bugbear. The reason I come in like Gordon Ramsay and fix up your site is because just because I think you need to operate the pirate signal off the main platforms doesn't mean you should look stupid. I think you can still look professional and compete in the media landscape like that. And that's like, go look at Rick's, who's that guy Rick always, Alan Watt, right? Look at Karate Kicking Through the Matrix with Alan Watt, that website. Like, that shit just puts people off. It's designed to make it look like really crazy old conspiracy nonsense. Yeah, it's just silly. Why do that?
Well, that's what my site used to look like a long time ago. I had other sites when I just didn't even have a decent editor to put together a page. And that was an HTML site. There are lots of colors and wacky fonts, and it doesn't, it just wasn't columnized in any way. So yeah, I understand. He didn't upgrade with the times because he just didn't feel the need, I suppose. And his audios are hard to find, etc. So yeah. So Dirty Benny is going to bed now. He gave us his hour. So thank you, Dirty Benny, for showing up. Dirty Benny, you're of course welcome on FakoTube. I don't see your name over on FakoTube. You're everywhere else. You're on the Fakeologist forums. You're on the blog, but FakoTube, no. So I can't remember.
His comment continues. Chemistry with Abvelo and Frank in the mix. Wonderful discussion. So,
yes,
he doesn't appear on Discord.
No, he's not a Discordian either. But he may have some technical reasons why he's not there. But I think FakoTube is super easy. So if you have any FakoTube issues, let us know and we'll try and address them if it could make your experience there better. Because the other thing, of course, is your valuable comments, while they're recorded on the screen here, they don't make it permanent. They're not permanent, but they would be if you went to FakoTube.com. I know you're an old man, but FakoTube is meant for old men. So make sure you sign up over there and leave.
Is Dirty Benny the new name for typer error? Is he missing the D key on his keyboard?
No, I don't think Dirty Benny should be compared to typo error. That's typo error is a blast from the past who could not type or form a coherent sentence in text. But actually, he was a nice guy to talk to when he wasn't
completely great to talk to. Yeah, very
when
good
he wasn't completely hammered. All right.
So in conclusion, Marcus, come back.
Well, Marcus is listening. Forgive He's us. Always welcome
Forgive
back.
Forgive us.
No, Marcus. There's nothing to stop. Frank, stop groveling.
Wait. Didn't you say Marcus said something about how the beginning of the end was the night he came on with Sarah and I? What was that about?
I think that was the beginning of the drama. That was
the best audio ever.
Is he using that as some arbitrary point in time, or is he really saying that was like the start of all the downturn? Like,
no, that was the beginning of the drama, he said.
Sarah and I were on your show and he butted in. I don't know. I think it's just the time. Yes, that's the time that happened. Right. But I don't know if we should be included in that. Seems unfair.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Lord. Well, drama is interesting radio. I'm not really here to be the great entertainer, truth be told. But on the other hand, if we're giving good info, it doesn't hurt to be interesting. So contrary views are interesting, I think. I don't like listening to two people just agree with each other for an hour. It's rather boring. There's enough shows like that. And I often wonder, you guys don't have any conflicting views at all on anything? You don't raise your voice at each other at all? That's boring. Even my wife yells at me more than half the time. She disagrees and she still doesn't see fit to hold her tongue when she knows I'm right.
Start recording that for a podcast. I want to hear that. I want to hear a feed of that 24/7.
Oh,
Mrs. Fakeologist yelling.
You'd be bored out of your mind. I know. I know. I just, yeah, it's not interesting. But she doesn't listen to this show much anymore, apparently. So we're not interesting enough. Or she can't find the feed. Fakeologist.com is where all the links are, as Velasetta's has alluded to. There's no difficulty finding different links and different live streams. We're going to fix up the live stream page, and we're going to do lots of improvements as
I put a cool graphic on the audio chat page for you too that you have to check out. I'm busy doing that one next.
What is the link to that?
I'm not sure why you're so hard on. I think the site, you know, for the ability to get audio up and connect to it, is pretty outstanding. Really, I mean, I don't know how many people realize just how easy it is to come and appear on this show.
Oh, I was making a flippant joke on Rick and Rollo. The most previous show I appeared on, which is a rarity for me, but I made a joke about how I should be getting, Academy Awards for production. And
by the way, I agree with you.
No, I'm saying I actually do mean the bit seriously about the technical achievement. What Ab and I have done here is truly something you don't see being done anywhere
else.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As they say in Australia, I can't piss in your pocket enough.
Yes, I know that one.
Oh dear, I don't know that one. You guys are always pissy with your phraseologies. You have a lot of piss references.
Well, the most famous one is for someone you don't like is to say, "I wouldn't piss in your ear if your brain was on fire."
Right. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Rollo says that a lot.
Yeah, if you go to the top menu and click audio chat. I started working on an explanation of the concept behind the audio chat. So it's supposed to be more of a content piece describing like the whole aim of what this platform brings. See. So I'm busy expanding on that now to try and explain. And then from there you can click through to the different services.
Oh, I got it.
So I've gone on fakeologist.com and I can't see audio chat. All I see is blog, forum, streams, podcast, fake YouTube. Mm-hmm.
It's on the next page with the blog. It has the titles on the top.
Okay. I think you should put it on the front page then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the front page has links to access the streams live and links to access the podcast. I just haven't got the participation part yet. So that's what I'm redesigning at the moment is an introduction to the audio chat concept, which will have two explanations of you can listen in two different ways or you can participate this way. So trying to make the whole on-ramp process nice and easy.
Yeah.
So it's already great.
It's amazing.
Will the main page have more of a participate link somewhere?
I'll try to get the audio chat component put on the front page when it's ready. Yeah.
All right. Because I take Frank's criticism very seriously because he's been here a long time. Pat yourself on the back. You've been here a long time.
It's always good to hear little things people have to say about anything. Like I've done a lot of work on this, but I've got a lot of praise, but it's just excellent looking, great, good job. It's like, I do actually want to hear if there's any little problems, any things people notice, tell me, because that's like helping me learn how to make things better for people who interpret things differently.
Yeah. Right?
Well, obviously the Velo box, which equalizes people's sound levels.
Yeah.
Is just full on astonishing for a start.
Yeah. It's a great piece of software on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that must be worth several million dollars for you.
Oh, easily. Are you saying you want to sponsor the Velasquez?
Well, I was more saying I want to buy shares in FakeoTube and VeloBox, really.
Oh, yeah. Wow. See, Ab, there's people who are willing to back these ideas.
No, I know.
But the technologies you're creating here are obviously cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
For a market of people doing the thing as you're doing, Ab, there must be, I would guess, 10,000 people that want to do exactly the same thing as you.
I wonder.
And to load all this technology into it as a package is worth serious money. Even if you only charge $2,000 for it, you know, that's a lot of money.
Well, that's more Velasquez technical service. So Velasquez is available. I don't want this to be a commercial, but what the hell?
It is a commercial. It is. I think the technical achievements of the site are astonishing.
All I can say at this stage is I am very multi-disciplined. I don't want to work in mainstream, which is where my whole skill base was of any use, was huge, huge money in huge broadcasting facilities. So I have no, you know, my heart's telling me that's not, you know, you don't want to work for the Satan. Why would I work for the Satan? You know, don't your headset. Whatever.
Funny.
Thank you. Thank
what accent is that?
That's supposed to be Gaia.
Oh, that's Guy. I had no idea. Okay, very good. Guy is off the site, by the way.
My point was, I don't want to work.
I don't know if he left or somebody blew him off, but okay, yeah.
I didn't want to keep working for the Satan. So, like, people who, if you have ideas, anyone out there, if you have ideas, like, I could be the person to help you realize them. And I appreciate what you're saying, Frank, but that's such a huge mountain to climb for me to even know where to start trying to market market it as a product.
I don't think it's any such thing as a mountain at all. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's going to work. It's going to take off. It's clearly going to work. You just keep doing what you're doing, and then you'll
and a little bit of Luke 11 every day.
Well, that's up to you. I mean, I don't think the creator answers materialistic prayers. I just think the only thing I would suggest you say Luke 11 is just say that you stay alive and stay healthy, which is pretty important.
Yeah.
But I think what you're doing is going to have a life of its own. It's like the story of, which probably isn't true, of Nokia becoming a telephone company, even though it was really originally a logging company.
Really? A logging company. Nokia.
Yeah, so that they developed their phone technology. This is the story. I don't believe any of this stuff's true anymore.
Oh, okay.
So that's a problem. But the story was that Nokia needed to have, you know, great communication because, you know, they didn't have a lot of, you know, very skilled workers, and they needed to keep in touch with them in a particular way, and they were very specific about it. So they developed their own communication system, which then became Nokia Phone Company. And that ended up becoming what was supposed to be just an ancillary to their business, ended up becoming their main business.
I had no idea. Here's the Nuclear Weapons or Fake movie that I don't remember seeing, but might have to watch it again.
They make 10,
oh, it's got Galen in it.
Back again.
Okay. That's most of the stuff we've seen.
You learn.
All right. Well, good show. Impromptu show. Tomorrow should be Go Find the Others. I'm not against having the round table on Thursdays, but we could also leave it really flexible and just have it whenever.
I think if Marcus isn't around, he's the one who's a big stickler for schedules and being on time. So I'm happy just to contribute. If you need me, just give me a yell. But that'd be good to hear Go Find the Others tomorrow night. And remember, I might be appearing Rick and Rollo, of course, 4 a.m. Saturday for those in the States and 6 p.m. Saturday night for those in Down Under.
That's a brutal schedule for you.
but don't get me started on. I was doing so well for a few months back. I was doing really well, like up at 7 a.m., off to bed by 10, and now I'm back to my older night owl habits, up till 4 a.m. to catch Rick and Trollo.
Oh, well. Well, yeah, you might want to catch these latest shows because I think
so much more fun listening live, though. That's the problem. I don't want to listen on catch up. I want to be there because then I don't know. It just feels it's company. It's the company component of broadcasting.
Well, it's an old habit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like listening to Rick and Rollo live. It's alive. Yep.
Yeah. A little too much music, but that's his show. He can do what the hell he wants.
Oh, I kind of log off it. I do log off at that bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's not for everyone.
That stuff's just been that's the bit I'm complaining about, really. That stuff's just been a bit too annoying.
Well, I'll try and get him to rein it in a bit if I'm there for this one.
Well, anyone can interrupt.
Yeah, I mean, it's his show, so what can you do? But, you know.
It is his show, and I don't like to interrupt other people's work. And he's obviously creating something that he's proud of. Yep. And he's got Rick. Rick is enough person to rein him in.
Can I compare it to something else? So, like, they're playing a dangerous game playing too many songs, because they're actually having a bunch of people that can have a conversation these days is already rare. If you haven't noticed, then just look around you. I was looking as a bit of nostalgia. I went back through a few of the programming schedules for some of the community radio stations I've done work for. And this is a program grid these days. Mm-hmm. Every little block on that grid is the show name, the host's name, and then what type of music they play. And it's just become like jukebox of show up and play your favorite music. And this is happening all over the place. And I'm like, does anyone, like me and my co-host used to do 2 hours a week having a conversation, you know? And I'm like, does no one do that anymore? So what we're actually doing is rare, I think. So capitalize on the good bit, and people can pick their own music, you know, when they want.
Music is done. Music is done. And I also read that AM radio is going to be done too because of electric cars. Apparently, the interference from an electric motor is too much for the engineers to overcome in AM radio, so they're not putting them in cars anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just not worth the engineering required to shield and shade the AM frequencies from the frequencies thrown off by electric motors, so they've just stopped. So there won't be any more. We're talking over the air AM frequencies, and I'm sure FM has already been divided up in North America, but they just they're all owned by the phone companies now. All the frequencies include, that's why they bought up all the entertainment companies or radio stations, because they know they're just going to take over the frequencies anyway and just turn it into mobile data. Everyone's streaming, and so that's just another heads up. I don't know why I went there, but just the changing.
Oh, that's a good heads up.
Yeah, it's just the it's just the changing future of frequency, etc. Well, thanks, gents. It was fun, and I'll continue my recovery.
I think it's been therapeutic for you, Ab. Your voice sounds better, much better at the end of the show than it did at the start.
Yes. Well, when I started off, I didn't really have an agenda, and then get a couple of good talkers, and then it picks you up. That's how it works.
The No Agenda show was already taken, though, so you couldn't use that.
Yeah.
That is a great brand, though, isn't it?
I think it is. And those guys, say what you want about them, they still bring in a very impressive show. And they're making a ton of money.
I meant to say at the start that I'm glad you're feeling a bit better, too, enough to do a show, but then I got distracted. But, yeah, it was very nice talking to you two, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
All right.
And to you. And give our regards to Sarah.
Yeah, she's right here. She's waving
my
to
regards,
you now.
I should say. I shouldn't speak for her.
Yeah, Frank, you can give
Frank
my regards.
Sends his regards. Oh, and Ab sends his regards.
A lot of regards coming down to Florida, where we're having the same weather here that you probably have. Hot as all get out today. Steamy, sauna.
Sorry, am I allowed to just ask about one more thing from you?
Yeah.
God, I keep wanting to call him the wrong name.
Just call me Joel. Call me Joel. Go by my Christian name.
Thank you, Joel.
The hero governor then promulgating all these hate laws. What's going on there?
Are you talking about Ron DeSantis?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really pay much attention. The first time I heard about that thing was the clip Noise Level played the other week on the show. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's the first time hearing of it, unfortunately.
I think you'll find every governor, every premier, they've all had to bend the knee. So I don't think, I think that one was just highlighted by somebody who wanted to find a fault with the great DeSantis. But every single president has kissed the wall and kissed the ring, by the way.
And certainly kissed the ring, for sure.
Yeah. So I think they're just helping reveal the power structure. The money structure behind all these puppets, and if they don't do it, they're not coming back. So I really think they see the fear of lack of funding. Even if they don't believe it, you're just paying tribute to the Don.
Yeah.
See it any different than the mafia, personally.
No, excellent way to put it.
Which is sad, but none of us here have any illusions of the people that are put before us to manage us. I don't think at all. Doesn't matter who they are, it's sad. But the fact they have to say that in public is just an acknowledgement to the public who's running the place.
That's a very good point. Yeah, okay. So there's revelation there anyway, at the very least.
Yeah, yeah. And I guarantee you're going to find similar statements by your local premier or...
Oh, no, no doubt. This guy, our guy, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, even mayor. And don't forget, the persecution of the persecuted is always on the rise, Frank. So beware.
I know.
Yeah, I know. Always. It's getting out of control again.
I know. How could I be so thoughtless?
Just like this disinfo is, it's on the rise. The disinfo is on the rise. We have to capture it. We have to put it down. Anyway.
I see a bad moon rising.
All right. I'm not going to play that. I'm going to play us out now. Thanks.
There's a bathroom on the right.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you, Velo.